Today, we get a government report on Toyota's sudden acceleration issues.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. NASA scientists, you heard right, NASA scientists are scheduled to publish their analysis of so-called runaway Toyotas. Those runaway cars prompted the automaker to recall millions of Corollas, Camrys, and Priuses. Marketplace's David Gura reports on what today's report will represent.
Drivers blamed Toyota, and Toyota blamed drivers. There were reports cars would accelerate on their own up to 100 miles per hour. The NASA report could be significant, especially in court where Toyota faces a host of lawsuits. At the very least, it could provide insight into complaints car engines are too complex and too computerized. So that's maybe why Congress asked a group of rocket scientists to sort this whole thing out.
They had the capabilities and the facilities to conduct some really significant testing.
Rebecca Lindland is a senior analyst with IHS Global Insight. She says engineers looked at software, how the cars are wired, and at their throttles. NASA reportedly exposed several cars to high levels of electromagnetic radiation. Lindland says Toyota got a lot of bad publicity.
They are definitely still in recovery mode.
She says even though Toyota's profits are down, it's presenting an optimistic forecast to investors and consumers, hoping sales will accelerate soon. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
We're also awaiting an announcement today on a big federal investigation into insider trading. Charges are expected to come down against hedge fund managers and an analyst allegedly involved in trading illegalities. Let's do the numbers. Markets are mostly higher right now, barely. The S&P and NASDAQ up just a fraction of a percent. The Dow up 36 points, about a third of a percent at 12,197. McDonald's said today sales were up in Asia and in Europe and here in the United States, too. The company beat Wall Street estimates by a long shot. Now to a federal program that was supposed to solely help revitalize poor and struggling inner-city neighborhoods. The program's also being used, however, frequently as financial tool for big corporate developments. We're talking about banks that are investing in hotels and retail centers, not necessarily in the most blighted areas. In the March issue of Bloomberg Markets magazine, reporter David Dietz explored how the new markets tax credits passed by Congress in 2000 and signed into law by President Clinton has been a boon for corporate development. And David Dietz is with us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are banks getting their hands on this money to build all this stuff?
Well, it's a Treasury Department program that annually hands out $3 to $5 billion, and banks use this money to supposedly invest in poor communities.
And are they doing that?
We have to acknowledge that there are some good projects, but billions of dollars is going toward things like luxury hotels and office buildings and museums and theaters geared toward an upscale audience.
Well, the nonprofits are also getting some of this money, these tax credits, if you will. So what are they saying about this?
Well, a lot of the nonprofits don't like what's going on because the intent of the program was to put as much money as possible into truly needy communities and not downtown commercial cores where a great deal of this money is going.
Does the federal government know that these funds are used for purposes other than, you know, revitalization of truly impoverished places?
Yes, they do. The answer is, well, these projects create jobs. And while that's true, you have to ask yourself whether or not that is a result that was intended by the program. I think that jobs are certainly a benefit. You have to ask yourself what kinds of jobs are created and whether those jobs are going to people in needy communities.
David Dietz, reporter for Bloomberg Markets Magazine. David, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The people of tiny, landlocked Bhutan call their country the happiest place on Earth. Former Marketplace reporter Lisa Napoli put her life on hold and traveled to the Asian Kingdom to set up a student radio station there. She chronicles her adventure in a new book out today titled Radio Shangri-La. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
So here you are, fast-paced American, being asked to go to this country to help set up this radio station. What was going through your mind? What'd you think?
Well, I was working here at Marketplace, and I was thinking I needed a change, and I thought, well, radio is radio, right? I wasn't worried about the language barrier, and I should have probably been worried about the cultural barrier.
And you went there with an open mind, and what happened?
It was such an interesting place to be. They measure their well-being in terms of gross national happiness.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah. How do you measure happiness?
It's not like I can say, hey, Steve, fill in this form, and I can tell you whether you're happy or not. But basically, they're committed to not just making money. They're all about wellness, well-being, balance, and they factor that into whether they're successful.
Why are these people happier than, say, people in China or people in India or people in Bangladesh?
Well, some people believe that Bhutan was happier because it was insulated from all those places around it. Television was outlawed until about 10 years ago, and tourists have only been allowed in since 1972. So you can feel very happy about your environment. And the minute you start seeing someone wearing something nicer than you, you start to think, maybe I'm not so happy with what I've got.
But it's changing. All these things, these metrics that are measured here in the United States and other Western countries have been introduced into Bhutan. Do you think this is sort of an avalanche about to happen?
Well, I've always thought the way we lived in this country, where we spend too much money on things we don't need to impress people we don't necessarily like, didn't make sense to me. So that's what we'll have to see as Bhutan grows out into the world, how people are able to retain that core value system.
Lisa Napoli, author of Radio Shangri-La, thanks.
Thank you.
There are videos of Lisa's travels, by the way, at marketplace.org. Finally, Dale Smith has to decide whether he's going to take a 75-page written exam to reinstate his barber's license. The Oregon Board of Cosmetology voted last month not to renew Smith's license until he passes current certification. Smith is 82. The last time he took a barber's test was 1956. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. On Twitter at Radio Chio, this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
You think you've got problems? Could be a lot worse.
I'm shattered. Like, my bottom five teeth got knocked out. They're, like, sitting in my throat. I can feel them. And my jaw has a big crack right here, and they put two plates and 12 screws in.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Just grin and bear it. How to handle pain Freakonomics style next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.